Marianne asked me how my vacation was, and I said the first few days were good, but yesterday morning, early morning, Bruce Henry gave me a call and said he was sick. Well, he didn't. Before he said he was sick, I heard in his voice that he was sick, and so it was the best decision for him to stay back and get better. And so then here I am today, and I had a couple of thoughts for Sunday school this morning, but I wanted to really piggyback on a part of a lesson that I shared with the teens a week or so ago. I didn't want to go all the way through the rest of the prodigal son because I didn't have the time I wanted to spend in organizing that the way that I wanted. But I wanted to use the parable of the prodigal son as an example for us this morning in filtering, in being intentional about filtering what we see, what we hear, what we think when it comes to the Word of God. Now, here's a question. When we talk about filters, what's a filter? Just in general, what's a filter? Anybody, what's a filter? One of the kids, Josiah, what's a filter? Yeah, it takes the dirty out of the water and it makes it clean. That's a really good description. So when I talk about filtering when it comes to understanding the Bible, if I say we have to filter things that we hear and see, and we that we maybe get from outside, like other people say, or what we see on TV, so we have to filter that. What does that mean when it comes to talking about understanding the Bible? We're trying, like if Josiah's example was taking water and making it clean, takes all the dirty out. What do we want to do when it comes to the Bible and talking about the Lord? If we're talking about filtering those things out, anybody? Any of the kids? I know it's early morning. Yes, Isaiah. Yeah. Yeah, filter out the things that are bad for your mind and as you're going to the Word. But yeah, particularly, that's right. We want to make sure to be discerning when it comes to the Word. Now, the question I have to begin us this morning is, this is kind of a general, broad category question. The question is, what productions, and by that I mean movies, TV, music, theater, whatever it might be, in our culture have an effect upon the way in which people view God or the teachings of the Bible particularly? Is there anything in our culture that in kind of a large kind of general dump on the culture affects the way that Western people think about God and the Bible? Any productions, any things that you can think of that are influencing in that regard? The media. Yeah, the way in which people talk in general, the way they carry themselves, at least communicates a worldview, an idea, a belief about who God is and what He's done. Okay? Think about nostalgia TV, right? When I was a kid, we watched Nick at Night, sometimes Car 54 or Mr. Ed or whatever else. Those were some of my... I liked the Nick at Night and the oldies station when I was a kid. It must have been a really weird... Well, I was a really weird kid. But the point is a lot of those shows tended to be more of an idyllic picture of society. Nowadays, you watch a sitcom or a TV show, it's going to be more almost too real or gritty or whatever else, almost more than what real is. But think about idyllic TV like The Waltons or like Little House on the Prairie or some of those kinds of iconic TV shows or productions that may have influenced or you may have enjoyed when you were younger or, well, my kids, a couple years ago. What were some of the ways in which those kinds of shows may have affected or served to have an effect upon the way in which people viewed God, the Bible, and things of that nature? Can you think of anything? Noah. No? Okay. The joke in our house was when we were watching Little House on the Prairie was that the only hymn that they knew in that town was Bringing in the Sheaves, because they sang it almost every time there was the church service was in session. That was a song they sung. If you watch that show again with a discerning eye, you'll find out that Michael Landon, who was the creator and main mover in that show, really had a pretty poor view of the God of the Bible. Now, he wasn't a Christian. I believe he was a Jew. I'm not sure how devout he was or whatever it was. But they had this view of kind of the Americanized Christian religion of you do your best and God will take care of you kind of thing. You do your part. And that had this kind of effect upon the way in which people think about general idyllic culture, general idyllic religion, and those kinds of things. That was kind of more general. I think that the culture in the past and even present, whether it's with shows like that or media like that, or just in general, any type of programming today has an effect upon the way in which, or can affect the way in which people view the Bible or God Himself. Here's more of a direct question. Are there any, or what productions do you use, enjoy, or benefit from, related to the Bible, that may affect the way in which you understand God in the Scriptures? In other words, is there anything you use, that you make use of, some kind of production that is used for its spiritual benefit or its Christian teaching? And does that, or in what way does that affect your understanding, or can it affect your understanding of the Scriptures? Any Christmas movies, any Christmas programs, any kind of those things, what do you use? What media, Christian-type media, do you use, if any? Does anybody in here use any kind of thing that would be called Christian-type media? Whether it's music, movies, TV, other kinds of programming, radio shows, or anything? I do, okay. Okay. Music or podcasts? Right. No, that's the. No, those are. I'm thinking about anything like that, really. Julie brought up the briefing. I've recommended the briefing for years as a good general kind of grasp on current events from a biblical perspective. When you listen to something like The Briefing or other programming, for instance, one of the ones that I always have liked for 15 years or more has been a program that's now called Wretched Radio. It used to be Talk the Walk, then Way of the Master Radio, now it's Wretched Radio, and it's an apologetics, evangelistic, current events kind of show that deals with things in the culture and tries to tackle them from a Christian worldview. All these things can affect the way in which you think about God, the Bible, and current events. And some of them are trying to do that, trying to help you think clearly about what you see and hear in this day and age, and then try to help you filter those things through the Bible. But a lot of times, music, right? When I was a kid, I liked Michael Card, I liked DeGarmo and Key. Now, if anyone else knows DeGarmo and Key, I'll give you a prize later. Anyway, at least knows that name from back in the 80s. But I like some of those. I like Petra. I like some of those kinds of music bands, musical groups. And some of their songs could affect the way in which I thought of or understood things about the Lord. How can music affect the way in which you think about God? Or can it? Can Christian music affect the way you think about God? Isaiah, what do you think? Can it, or yes or no? I think it can. Okay? Anybody else? What's that? Okay? How can... Stephanie... One of the reasons I bring this up is because it's sometimes difficult to see the ways in which media can influence your thinking. I asked the teens a hypothetical question. I said, if we were going to, for our PowerPoint singing, if we're going to have, instead of just the words on the screen, if we're going to have like almost a video, like an actual drama behind the words, so there'd be, you know, moving pictures and, you know, people doing actions, not dancing actions or whatever it might be, but actually, you know, like, scenes from a movie behind the words of the song, would that be a good thing or a bad thing? And the answer that I was given, which is right, was it could be either. But ultimately, one of the things I think was one of the teens said is it can tend to almost unnecessarily narrow your focus, as opposed to thinking about God through the words of the song. You're now thinking about God through the words of the song and the picture on the screen, and that picture on the screen might point you to something that is maybe not necessarily even wrong, but too specific. For instance, I use the example of if we're going to sing about amazing, if we sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And on the screen behind the words wretch was a picture of a guy taking money from a till at a store, right? Now, it is true that one of the things about one sin about which people do, or that people do, is stealing. But if I'm not one who is actively stealing, or greed is not something that is gripping me, what that can do is tell me to think of a wretch only in terms of greed, as opposed to looking at my own individual sinful introspection to see, where am I the wretch that God has saved? And so media can have an unfortunate influence, and even subtle influence, on the way in which we think through things in the Scriptures. And I have an example for us this morning. I want us to work through it. I've mentioned this in the past, but I grew up listening to radio audio dramas. I love audio dramas. Always have. And I mentioned that my listening to The Prodigal Son influenced the way that I thought of that story from the time I was a kid. So what I want us to do today is take about 14 minutes, we're going to listen to that story. And before we do, though, I'm going to read the verses for The Prodigal Son. And as we're listening to it, I want us to, there are three questions on there that I want you can just jot notes down. What about this production is good and beneficial, if anything at all? What about this production is problematic or possibly harmful, if anything at all? Would you choose to make use of this product in your home? Why or why not? And what kind of safeguards might you put in place if you're going to use such a thing? This is an example that I want us to walk through a little bit this morning. So I'm going to read, starting in verse 11 of Luke chapter 15, and then we're just going to have a time of listening, and then I want your responses as to whether these things were, or what's beneficial, what's harmful, or would you make use of this kind of media in your home. Luke 15, starting in verse 11. He said, "A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent himself, he sent him into the fields to feed swine. He would gladly fill his stomach with the pods the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, Quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. The son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found, and they began to celebrate. Now his oldest son was in the field. When he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, Your brother has come. Your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. He became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, Look, for so many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. When the son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, who killed a fattened calf for him. He said to him, Son, you've always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found. So now we're going to take a few moments. I'll have Warren go ahead and start this audio. And just again, just listen, jot some notes down, and we'll talk about it when it's done.
I tell you, I'm going to the city. There's life there. There's music. There's dancing. There's fun!
In the days of Jesus, people were not so very different from the way they are today. There were households with parents and children in them, as there are today, and sometimes the children were good, and sometimes they were bad. Jesus knew about the troubles the people had, the good people and the bad ones. And that's why he told his followers the parable of the prodigal son. Jesus told about a certain man who had two sons. And in a moment, we'll find out that the two boys were very different, just as you might be different from your brother or sister. And they had very different attitudes toward their father.
My sons, there's a great deal of work to be done today.
There's work to be done every day, Father. I'm getting sick of it.
Jed, that's no way to talk to our father.
Never mind, Simon.
Well, I do mind. He's always talking that way. Now, what's so wrong about the work we do, Jed? How do you suppose we'd all eat if you and I didn't work in the fields?
Oh, you're so pious, Simon, it makes me tired.
Now, boys, stop this quarreling. I said there's work for us, and there is. Jed, I want you to take the north field and dig for the planting. Simon, you take the south field.
All right, Father.
Thank you, Simon. Jed, did you hear me? The north field.
All right, all right.
I've got to get back to the house for a little while, but I'll come back and help if one of you should need help.
I guess there's no need to wonder who will need help.
You mean me, don't you, Simon? You think it's fun having Father help me in the field? He keeps me working every minute.
Well, that's what you're here for, isn't it?
I'm getting sick of this kind of life. I'm going to run away to the city.
Oh, you and your nonsense.
I tell you, I'm going to the city. There's life there. There's music. There's dancing. There's fun.
Fun. That's all you ever think of. Come on, stop dreaming. Let's get out to the fields. You'll never get to the city.
You think not? Wait and see. It's going to be sooner than you think, because I have a plan.
Jed. Jed.
Oh, hello, Father. I don't think I can finish this section before dark.
Well, you're the one who seems to need help, as usual.
I'm sorry if I don't work as fast as Simon.
Oh, you work just as fast as he does. You just rest more often, that's all. Why is that, Jed? What is the matter?
To be frank, I don't like the life I'm leading.
You live in a good, big, comfortable, warm house. You have good clothes. You're well fed.
Yes, I know, I know. Look, Father.
Yes?
I'm glad this came up because there's something I want to say. Something I want to ask. It isn't easy, but...
Out with it, boy.
Father, you've often said that this home and this land and the money you have are all for Simon and me someday.
That's true.
Well, suppose I gave up the home and the land.
What?
I mean it. Suppose I just took my share of the money right now.
Why?
I don't want to live here anymore.
Do you know what you're saying?
I know, all right. I've thought about it often enough.
And did you think of me? Did you think of what it would mean to me to have my son turn his back on me and leave?
You've always said you wanted us to have whatever we really wanted.
Just what is it you want?
I want never to see this place again.
And never to see me again?
Well...
Say it.
Oh, now look here, Father.
No, let's not talk about it anymore. If this is what you want, you may have it. You don't care that you've broken my heart. All right. Come on. Come back to the house with me. I'll give you your money, and you can go.
Gone. Jed is really gone?
Yes, Simon, he's gone.
He said he would. I didn't believe him, but he did say he'd go.
Did he say where?
He wanted to go to the city.
To the city? To live riotously. I can imagine the way he'll behave himself in the city.
Oh, Melchior, that's one of the funniest stories you've ever told.
Well, you keep buying wine for me, and I'll tell you even funnier ones, won't I, friend?
Yes, he will, Jed. Food and wine like this loosens his tongue.
All right, then. Waiter! Oh, waiter, more wine!
Jed, aren't you ready for the party?
Very nearly. I'm putting on the new clothes I bought to wear tonight. What do you think of this tunic?
Oh-ho! Expensive and very beautiful. You're a man of taste, Jed.
Thank you.
A man of taste is a man who doesn't mind spending his money. You must have a bottomless purse.
Well, I do have some money. It's going fast, but there's still some left.
Well, we're only young ones. Come on, the girls are waiting. The musicians are waiting. And the food... Yes, we'd better eat the food while there's still food to eat.
What do you mean by that?
Nothing. There are rumors of a famine coming.
Oh, well, we'll face that when it happens. Here. Here's a little money for your pockets. I know you'll want to show everybody you have money, especially the girls.
You're not only a man of taste, you're a man of understanding. Thank you very much. If I ever get my hands on any money, I'll start paying you back, but...
Now, where would you get money? You don't like to work any better than I do.
Right you are. Let's go.
What's the matter, Father?
What? It's you, Simon. I didn't hear you come in. What did you say?
I asked you what was the matter, Father. You've sat in that chair for two long nights now. You haven't seen me or anyone else, for that matter. And you haven't heard a thing I've said... What is it, Father?
I'm wondering about Jed.
Oh.
I'm very bitter about Jed, Simon. He didn't seem to care for any of us that day he left. All he cared about was going. We haven't heard from him. He's a bad son.
Then why worry about him?
Because I am his father. And besides, I've heard something.
What? About Jed?
No. About the city. There is a famine there. People are without food and without work. And by now, I imagine Jed has run through his money.
He deserves whatever happens to him.
I suppose so. But still, I'm worried.
Amilcar! Amilcar!
Jed! I've been looking all over for you. You don't live in the inn anymore.
No, I gave up those rooms. I've been looking for you too, Amilcar.
Oh, isn't this famine terrible?
Oh, it's terrible.
Look at all these people, all of them leaving the city. hoping to find something to do on a farm somewhere so they can eat regularly.
It's terrible.
Well, it's all right now that I've found you. There are people in the city who have stores of food, you know.
Yes, I've heard.
They're willing to sell for a very high price. But we don't care about the price, do we, Jed?
I'd give anything for food.
Ah, that's the way to talk.
I've been to see some of the others, those we used to have such fun with at parties. And do you know what?
No, what?
They wouldn't see me.
Oh, what do you mean?
Oh, they wanted to see me at first. They were happy, every one of them. But as soon as I explained that I'd spent all my money, that I had no place to sleep, that I was hungry and desperate and miserable...
You spent all your money?
Yes. And then I remembered you, what good friends we've been, what wonderful times we used to have together, and all the money I gave you and spent on you. Tell me, where are the people with all the food?
If you've lost all your money, there's no point in telling you. I'm sorry, Jed. I've got another engagement.
What?
I have to see
what?
Somebody.
What?
Sorry!
You're just like all the others! Oh, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do?
So, you want work, young man?
Yes, I know all about farm work. I was born on a farm.
Mm-hmm. Came from a farm and went to the city to live like a king. Well, I'll show you what work I have for people who live like kings. You know what a pig is?
Yes, sir.
You feed the pigs. That's your work.
Anything, anything.
Anything, anything. Here, see these corn husks? Take them to the pigs.
Yes, sir.
How you look at these slops. You'd like to eat some of these yourself now, wouldn't you?
He's right. I could eat the corn husks, which I now feed to the pigs. The servants in my father's house can eat all they want, but here I am, starving to death. How could I sink so low? I know what I'll do. I'll go back home, and I'll ask my father's forgiveness for being so wicked and wasteful.
Ah, going home to your father. I suppose he wasn't good enough for you when you left, and his farm wasn't good enough for you either. Well, do you think he wants you back?
I don't know. But I've got to find out. I miss him so. I miss him so. Oh, it's good to be home. There's Father working in the fields. He sees me.
Jed! Jed! You've come back! Jed, my boy.
Oh, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son.
My son, come to my arms. Oh, I've missed you so.
And I've missed you, Father.
We'll bring forth the best robe and put it on you, and put a ring on your hand and shoes on your feet. We'll kill the fatted calf, and we'll eat and be merry because you, my son, you're alive again. You were lost, and you are found. Servants! Oh, servants, prepare a feast. Call the neighbors in. Let there be laughter. Let there be music.
What's going on in the house, Father?
I came out looking for you, Simon. Do you hear the rejoicing? Your brother is home.
What?
I've killed the fatted calf and everyone is celebrating.
Am I supposed to celebrate?
Why, what's the matter, Simon?
All these years I've done what you asked, Father. I've been a good son. You've said so yourself. You never killed the fatted calf for me. Only for my brother, who spent all the money you gave him on riotous living in the city.
Simon, my son, listen to me. You're with me all the time. Everything I have is yours. But your brother has been away. Your brother has not been a good son, but a bad son. And I'm rejoicing because he's back. Back home in every sense.
He's right, Simon.
Jed.
Simon, my brother, the celebration is not for me. The celebration is for the fact that I realize that I've been wrong. It's because I know now that all these years you have been right. Simon, won't you celebrate with us? It won't mean anything to me unless you do.
Jed. Jed.
Yes?
Jed, I'm glad to see you, and I will celebrate with you. Oh, it is good to have you home.
there's a little bit of a summary at the end there, what the announcer does. But we'll end here. And just, so this is one of the things I listened to as a kid. It was made, I think, back in 1960, and it was, I enjoyed it. But just a couple questions. What about this did you find that was good or could be beneficial? Anything? Was there anything about it that again, adjusting for the time differential between 1960 and today and the entertainment media, you know, expectations, but about this as it is, was there anything about it that was good or beneficial or useful? Christine? Pretty faithful to the story? Okay. Stephanie? Yeah. Anybody else? Daniel. Daniel, you hit it right on the head there. It makes you feel in a different way. And that's a lot of what media does. It pulls at your emotions. And that's good, can be good and bad, but it does draw you in and make it more real. It makes you feel the desperation. I thought that the dynamic of the living the high life and then all of a sudden his friends turn on him when he's run out of money, that was a very powerful little practical and truthful way in which sometimes the world treats though people who are, you know, who go out there. A lot of, I thought, really helpful and poignant things there. As a matter of fact, I just noted in my notes there, I thought particularly that verses 13, where basically when the son leaves until he comes back to until the father receives him, verse 24, all was really, really pretty good. I mean, really good, which is the really big thrust of the story of the repentant sinner and the one who comes back. So I thought those were really good and beneficial parts of this production. Was there anything about this production that was problematic or potentially harmful? If so, what was it? Warren. Okay, specific details that Jesus that put in that Jesus didn't have. Okay. Christine? Right. You had some dynamics there between the brothers that were definitely not in the text. Stephanie? Whether it was explicit in exactly those same terms, that was the, I mean, does anybody disagree? That was the overall impression of the entire story, was there was the good son, stayed home, did the work, and there was the bad son. That was the overall thrust of the entire, of the way they put the story together. What else might be concerning or at least worthy to take note of if you're, it could be problematic if you're not careful. Warren? Yeah, I agree. Or even the comment I wrote down in the Warren just said that the fact that the good son is the one who I think in the text is the one representing the Pharisees, which misses one of the points of Jesus entirely. Or the younger son says to his brother, "You've been right all along." You know, that was the prodigal comes back and says to his brother, "You've been right all along," which again misses that. It assumes more, reads into it this good versus bad son dynamic, which again is not there. But if you just read it casually, or use this media as part of your diet of instruction, it becomes harder not to see that dynamic. Daniel, you had a comment. So there's a lot of things in here that I think could be beneficial, but some significant things that were at least concerning. Now, if you hadn't either studied the prodigal son prior to listening to this narrative, this story, and like, or studied in detail as I did when I was a kid, that can affect the way in which you see and read. You have to essentially unlearn what you've learned wrong. If you learned that there was a good son and the bad son, to unlearn that can be a difficult task, because, well, that's not the way I've always understood it. And anytime we come to the Bible, that's what we have to be willing to do, is unlearn those things we might have learned wrong. Now, it's easy for most of us here to look at this and be objectively critical, which is good, but how hard is it if it's something that either I grew up on, or you grew up on, or that you make use of, or whatever it might be, that we don't see those as easily or as clearly because they're colored in history, nostalgia, and just the way that it is. We have to be careful. So here's the third question is, would you choose to make use of this production? And for this kind of production, this kind of maybe production, not this one in general, because most people don't really care about audio dramas nowadays, and I get that. But would you make use of this if it were in a form that would be, you know, I suppose, dispersible to today? Would you use it? Why or why not? If it was, whether it's this story or something just like it that had all the same benefits and all the same potential drawbacks, would you use it or make use of it? Why or why not? Noah, what do you think? Yeah, would or would not? Would not, okay. Okay. So probably not, because the potential for harm is more significant than the potential benefit. Okay? Anybody else? Yeah. Yeah. So use it for even all of its flaws, and use it to help expose the flaws, but also, yeah, it promotes good opportunities. Okay. Anybody else? Thanks, Julie. Any other thoughts? Warren. So it can be useful as long as you use the main thing. Right. I think that, and that's kind of been the way in which, whether Julie or Warren has said, the kind of my attitude has been, is if it is, again, like I think for the thrust, particularly of the prodigal going away, living righteously, coming, you know, repenting, coming back, and being received back by the Father, that was really, I think, pretty well done. The part of the story that really bombed was the interchange between the brothers, or even particularly the older brother. But my perspective has been to use that because I think, like Daniel said, it helps you kind of get a picture, imagine, you feel some of those things in a way that helps bring some things to life. We've liked last year we watched the miniseries The Chosen, which I thought was a pretty enjoyable miniseries about the beginnings of the ministry of Christ. And I think I would recommend that with the same caveats I'd recommend this kind of an audio drama, because there are things that are, people say, artistic license or those kinds of things. So you have to be careful. But it can help to at least bridge that gap between my world and my understanding of where I'm at now to trying to get me back to at least an idea of what it might have been. And as long as we keep the main thing, as long as we keep the scriptures as a filter we're trying to put things through, some of those ways in which those other media or productions, they can be beneficial if they are the coming alongside. But if they are the staple, the substitute, then we have a problem. And so for so many people, for so many even self-proclaimed Christians or even historically, the Christian culture, the media has been the replacement for the scriptures and the truth. I suppose probably a lot of people, the most Christian thing they do on Christmas is watching a Charlie Brown's Thanksgiving, whatever it might be. They watch that kind of production in Charlie Brown's Christmas. There's good things in that. I haven't watched it for a few years. There's enjoyable things about that production. But it's not a replacement for studying and understanding the scriptures and the advent of Christ. And so, for me, this is an actual example of where I had to wrestle with how media could have influenced and did influence me in a way that I had to deal with throughout life. Another one was back in the 1990s, TNT had several Christian Bible programs, Old Testament, so it could, I suppose, appeal to Jews and Christians as well. And one of my favorite ones was Joseph. And in that series, when Joseph comes before the Pharaoh to interpret the dream, I remember this plain as day. Pharaoh tells him the first part of the first dream, and then Joseph says, "Oh, was there a second dream?" I'm like, man, isn't that cool that Joseph asked, you know, that he knew there was a second dream? Well, that's not from the story of Joseph. Daniel was the one who was given the dream and the interpretation. Joseph was told both dreams. And so I had to be careful not to conflate that artistic change of the story into what the text was. And so we always have to be careful of those things. So these are two examples, particularly where I have had to deal with those when it comes to media. And my hope was that this example we've done today, and just me being clear with how I've had to deal with that, is helpful for us to help you better filter the media that you take in and to be diligent about those things and examine those ways in which you've had different perspectives shaped, molded, and even incorrectly formed because of things that weren't scriptural. So hopefully that was enjoyable. Thank you for your participation. I'm going to close with a word of prayer. Would you please bow with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we could be together to examine the ways in which we understand your word. Lord, I'm thankful for all the ways in which people have sought to bring your word to life. Some more faithful ways than others. And Lord, help us to always be discerning and careful about how we let those things influence our understanding of you and of your word. May we benefit from those things that we can, and may we avoid those things which are problematic. Lord, bless our fellowship this morning and the service to follow. In Christ's name, amen.